Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's day number 507 of our three-year journey through the Word of God. And we've come now to Acts, 2 Kings 17 and Hosea. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, for your gift of time with you each day, for the presence of your Holy Spirit, for the teacher that your Holy Spirit is to us, our helper, our comforter, our guide, our teacher, our friend. Would you teach us by your Spirit through your word? Would you walk with us today as we walk with you by faith in Jesus' name? Amen. 2 Kings 17. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hosea, the son of Elah, began to reign in Samaria over Israel, and he reigned 9 years. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, yet not as the kings of Israel who were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria. And Hosea became his vassal and paid him tribute. But when the king of Assyria found treachery in Hosea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and offered no tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria invaded all the land and came to Samaria, and for 3 years he besieged it. In the 9th year of Hosea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria, and he carried the Israelites away to Assyria and placed them in Hala, and on the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. And this occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel, and in the customs that the kings of Israel had practiced. And the people of Israel did secretly against the Lord their God things that were not right. They built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves pillars and asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they made offerings on all the high places, as the nations did whom the Lord carried away before them. And they did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger. And they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this." Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes in accordance with all the law that I commanded your fathers, and that I sent to you by my servants the prophets." But they would not listen, but were stubborn, as their fathers had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They despised his statutes, and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and the warnings that he gave them. They went after false idols, and became false, and they followed the nations that were around them, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them that they should not do like them. And they abandoned all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made for themselves metal images of 2 calves, and they made an Asherah, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. And they burned their sons and their daughters as offerings, and used divination and omens, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. None was left but the tribe of Judah only. Judah also did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the customs that Israel had introduced. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, and afflicted them, and gave them into the hand of the plunderers, until he had cast them out of his sight. When he had torn Israel from the house of David, they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord, and made them commit great sin. The people of Israel walked in all the sins that Jeroboam did. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had spoken by all his servants the prophets. So Israel was exiled from their own land to Assyria until this day. And the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the people of Israel. And they took possession of Samaria and lived in its cities. And at the beginning of their dwelling there, they did not fear the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So the king of Assyria was told, "The nations that you have carried away and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the law of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they are killing them, because they do not know the law of the God of the land." Then the king of Assyria commanded, "Send there one of the priests whom you carried away from there, and let him go and dwell there and teach them the law of the God of the land." So one of the priests, whom they had carried away from Samaria, came and lived in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. But every nation still made gods of its own, and put them in the shrines of the high places that the Samaritans had made, every nation in the cities in which they lived. The men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, the men of Cuth made Nergal, the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burned their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. They also feared the Lord, and appointed from among themselves all sorts of people as priests of the high places, who sacrificed for them in the shrines of the high places. So they feared the Lord, and also served their own gods, after the manner of the nations from among whom they had been carried away. To this day they do according to the former manner. They do not fear the Lord, and they do not follow the statutes, or the rules, or the law, or the commandments that the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. The Lord made a covenant with them and commanded them, "You shall not fear other gods, or bow yourselves to them, or serve them, or sacrifice to them, but you shall fear the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm. You shall bow yourselves to him, and to him you shall sacrifice. And the statutes and the rules and the law and the commandment that he wrote for you, you shall always be careful to do. You shall not fear other gods, and you shall not forget the covenant that I have made with you. You shall not fear other gods, but you shall fear the Lord your God, and he will deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies." However, they would not listen, but they did according to their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord, and also served their carved images. Their children did likewise, and their children's children, as their fathers did, so they do to this day. That is 2 Kings chapter 17. All right, so 2 Kings chapter 17 really gives us the explanation for where the Samaritans come from that we run into in the Gospels. It tells us a lot more than that, but that's kind of where the story ends in 2 Kings 17, is with the people of the land being this mixed group from different nations who have a mixed religion from different nations mixed in with the worship of the Lord. And that is the Samaritans. Those are the Samaritans who are there even in the days of Jesus, some 600 plus years after this, or 700 plus years after this account here in 2 Kings 17. So what happens here in 2 Kings 17? Well, it's the end for Israel. So neither Israel, the northern 10 tribes, nor Judah, the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin that were in the south, neither one of these nations, after the split, when Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, became king over Judah, and he was foolish, and so Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, led the northern 10 tribes away, that was prophesied by the Lord. It was a punishment, really, for Solomon's idolatry when he married foreign wives and they brought idols into the outskirts of Jerusalem. And even Solomon himself was led away into foreign idolatry. Solomon's sin bore fruit in the foolishness of Rehoboam, which had the consequence of the rebellion of Jeroboam and the split of the kingdom. It's been hundreds of years since then, about 300 plus years, and here we are with here we are with the consequence of the fact that that northern kingdom of Israel did not follow the Lord faithfully. But Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, set up two golden calves, one in Bethel and one in Dan, and led the northern Israelites to worship Yahweh falsely through golden calves, echoing back all the way to the Exodus and the golden calf that Aaron had made. So they were led into idolatry by their king, and they added to that the worship of Asherah, the worship of Baal, these foreign gods. But it began with the corrupt worship of Yahweh. So because the southern kingdom of Judah still had the temple, still had the Levitical priesthood, and had a number of kings who were fairly faithful, even though they as a nation were not faithful either, they were relatively more faithful, and so they would last over 100 years longer than Samaria. Samaria falls down into captivity to the Assyrians in 722 BC, and it would be just about 120 years later that Nebuchadnezzar would march on Jerusalem and begin the conquest of Jerusalem, which would not be finished until 586 BC. So really it's 136 years later, after the fall of Samaria and the northern kingdom, that Jerusalem finally falls. And they are given that extra time, which is a long time, 136 years. I mean, think that's going all the way back to, what, the late 1800s, right, to the 1880s? So that's a long time that they're given extra time because they did worship the Lord at the temple through the Levitical priesthood, and they did have several righteous kings, and so God spared them. But the focus here is on the fall of Samaria. And the reason for the fall of Samaria is so clear, and it is idolatry. Idolatry is always the temptation for God's people, that we would look at the things that the world worships, and we would worship them too. That's really what idolatry is. You look around at the things the world worships. The world worships entertainment. The world worships money. The world worships power. The world worships material possessions or social media influence, or what have you, and we worship those things too. That is, we give our hearts to them. We are devoted to them. We would sacrifice time, money, energy to pursue them and get them. That is idolatry. We don't have Baal and Asherah and all these other gods, but we do have, still, the people of God running after the things that the world values and pursues and sacrifices for and believes will provide them with some benefit. Think about it. What does an idol do? An idol demands a sacrifice and promises a benefit in return. So, careerism can become an idol. If you sacrifice your family, you sacrifice worship, you sacrifice your tithe and your participation in church because you are pursuing your career, and you're going to get the benefit of that, which is you move on up the corporate ladder, you get a bigger and bigger income. Perhaps you tell yourself, oh, I'll tithe more once I make more. I don't make enough money to tithe now, but once I get a six-figure salary, then I'll start tithing. Just think, if I made executive vice president, think about the influence I could have for the kingdom of God then. And those are the rationalizations we tell ourselves, and then we go chase after it. Or materialism, or leisure, or whatever the world values, we go after that. That's how idolatry happens today. That's what led to the downfall of Samaria. Worldliness. Valuing, pursuing, worshiping what the world values. And the result of this is that they're removed out of the land, and they're replaced by other people who are brought into the land. People from Babylon, people from other areas, Mesopotamia, Sukkoth, Benoth, etc. They're brought in, and they bring their gods in too. And then there's this incident with the lions. And so the lions come in, and When the lions come in, they start killing people, and the report's given to the king of Assyria, hey, the people don't know how to worship the god of the land. You see, the way that the polytheism in the ancient Near East worked is that gods were territorial. And so Yahweh was the territorial god. This was his spot of dirt that he was in control of in the mindset of the ancient Near East. So you've got to learn how to worship the god of the land. And so this priest, one of the priests, we don't know who his name is, we don't know who he is, what he is, but one of the priests, verse 28, whom they've carried away, came and lived in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Now that leads me to believe that this was a faithful priest who's teaching them rightly. Because the language here is very positive. This unknown priest who single-handedly introduces the worship of the Lord to the land. Unfortunately, they don't put away their other gods. And so you end up with a situation where you have a mixed group of people from a mixture of backgrounds with a mixture of gods who are carrying out a mixed religion. And like I said, those people become the Samaritans of Jesus' day. And we might say, well, so did God forget his covenant promises to the house of Israel? Did God completely reject and abandon these northern tribes? No. Because not everyone was removed from the land. Just the rich and the powerful and the influential, the urbanites, many of the rural peasants and poor were left in the land. And so it is a mixed group. And this place in Samaria is a place where Jesus comes. And where Jesus walks and teaches and does miracles. And the first village that comes to know Jesus as a village is the village of Sychar, where the Samaritan woman at the well is. It's a Samaritan village, and they are the first to turn in as a group to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. So God does not forget his people, despite how incredibly unfaithful they are. And that's good news for us, isn't it? We should be faithful. We should not say, oh, I can go off and commit idolatry and God won't forget me. No, because there's horrible consequences that come from their sin. We should not play around with idolatry. But we should be oh so thankful that even though we have been idolatrous, and we have, even though we have been unfaithful to the Lord, and we have, God remains faithful still. His faithfulness is greater than our faithlessness. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us with a love that's so undeserved and is so faithful. Help us to be faithful in response to your faithfulness and by your faithfulness and for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that's 2 Kings 17. We're going to move right on into 2 Kings 18 tomorrow. Hope you can join me for that. As always, I do hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.